Tuesday again, okay? And I think you understand. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Seems like it's a little darker this morning, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Not in here. Not in here. Yeah, fall's coming. Hopefully fall's coming. I'd like to see fall, not winter. All right, turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. My message this morning is mainly for the younger crowd. We got several that are newly married, or one that's newly married. We got some that are graduating, getting very close, young adults. And this I wish that I would have learned some of this when I was your age, young, because you got to go through, sometimes you go through the school of hard knocks. And Proverbs 22 and verse 7, let's pray before we start. Lord, I pray that you would help this morning, give us some practical wisdom and understanding, give us instruction out of your word. Teach us, and I pray that you would be glorified in our lives and all that we do, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." I have lived that verse, the last part of that verse right there. I know that verse, not just by head nod, I know that verse by experience. The borrower is servant to the lender. And I'm going to talk about your finances and getting out of debt and staying out of debt. Now, you young gals, young guys, you're probably not in debt right now. Too bad. Maybe some of you are. But if you are, you need to get out. If I can give you any practical advice, is don't go into debt. If you want to be rich, and you shouldn't seek to be rich, but that's just what's going to happen if you stay out of debt. You will be rich. Now, I didn't say you'll be a millionaire. There's different classifications of being rich. You can be rich because you're debt-free. You don't have to pay somebody constantly, and you work 40 hours a week or more so you can pay somebody else for the toys and the stuff that you thought at the time that you needed to have. But Proverbs 22, verse 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Now, this verse is thousands of years old, but it's still just as true today as the day that it was penned. The borrower is servant to the lender. And I've lived that verse. Now, listen, debt can cause sleepless nights. I've suffered through that. It can cause depression. Suffered through that. It can cause anxiety. It can cause marriage trouble, worry, anger, greed, covetousness, resentment. It can also cause overindulgence. So you get to the point where you're so far behind that you think, well, I deserve this. And then you go out and you get further into debt. And it can also, it causes poor record keeping. And the reason is you don't want to look at your finances. You don't want to look those things over because you know, already know the situation is bad. So you just kind of steer clear of it. And so the best thing, if I can give you any advice, especially with the way the world is going today, get out of debt and stay out of debt. You know, that's where the school system, not just in this category, but even the homeschool curriculum has failed young people miserably, is about teaching them about finances and teaching them about money. See, that's something that you're going to have to, parents ought to educate their children on how to handle money and what to do with money. Oftentimes, and you see it nowadays, I mean, look at the housing prices around Dillon. There is not much on the market, but look how much they're going for. And people are buying them, out-of-staters are coming in buying them, sight unseen, for cash. Because they're coming from California, Washington, Oregon, places like that where their homes are worth $1 million. And then they come here and they find a place for $500,000. Well, that's half of what they were paying for in California. And so they buy them sight unseen. And if you're not careful, young people, you get the idea that that's the kind of place that I need to have. Oftentimes, young people, they see their parents with a nice home and two cars or more, and they have toys, and they think that they're, when they start out in life, that they've got to have all that stuff. And that's where you get into trouble. You wind up in debt. It's amazing that the people, the young people that wind up going to college, by the time they graduate college, they're $100,000 or more in debt. That's not the way to start out your life. You want to start out your life debt-free. Debt-free. And that's by the grace of God, we have, I tell you, it takes work. If you're already in debt, and trust me, I know what it's like to be in over your head. It's hard to get out. But you better, if you have to use a teaspoon to start digging yourself out, you better start. And then it becomes a shovel, and then, you know, you wind up with a backhoe, and then pretty soon you're out of the pit. But you got to be diligent and stay focused at it. So he says, the borrower is servant to the lender. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now let me say this, young people. Just because you've graduated high school or you're about to graduate high school, that doesn't mean, and you might not be going to college, and that is fine. That's fine. I don't recommend college unless you're going for a trade school or something like that, something to learn a specific trade to go into, because you're going to wind up, they're going to try to brainwash you, actually brain dirty you in a college. Now, I know that's not popular, but that's the truth. They're teaching socialism and communism on this college campus up here. And so you got to be careful. Now, I'm not against college. I'm not against you going to college. Don't say that, I said you shouldn't go. You better be wise in your decisions, though. And if you do go to a college like that, you're going to wind up going into debt unless you have grants and all kinds of special things that happen where they give you a free ride or something like that. It is expensive to go to college. Not saying you shouldn't go. I'm just saying you better be careful and think about it. Think about it. A lot of times people that go to college, they don't even wind up doing what they went to college for. And so you're young. If you're young, don't be in a rush to make decisions. Don't jump the gun and go into debt and then have to pay off that debt 10, 20. Listen, I know one person that's what they have made their life out of, was going to college. And they've got the PhDs and the masters and all kinds of things after their name, and they are in debt way over their head. And their job, that their dream job, doesn't cover the bills because they're in so much debt. So, 2 Kings chapter 4, look at verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Notice she tells Elisha, this was your servant. So was he a good guy or a bad guy? He's a good guy. He was serving the Lord. "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" Notice that the first question that he asks this gal, he says, "What do you have in your house?" What do you think he's getting at? Sell some stuff. That's what he's getting at. He says, "What is in thine house? What do you have that you can get rid of so you can pay off your debt?" Now, that's good advice. And I'm telling you, the longer you're around, the longer you live in the great country America, the more junk you're going to acquire, the more stuff you're going to have that you don't need. I'm one of them, and so is everybody else. You wind up with stuff that you really don't need. At the time, you thought you'd love it, have fun, and then now it's sitting in the corner, and it never. So you say, what do you do with that? You get rid of it. There's a place called eBay. There's a place called Craigslist, where you sell stuff to pay off your debt. Get out of debt. You're going to want to live a life that's debt-free. Now, this is good advice. You know what folks do when they go buy a home? You know what they do? They look at the monthly payment and say, "Oh, I can afford that." Look at the total cost. Because if you start examining the total cost, you're going to realize real fast you can't afford that. It's like you take the word mortgage, and I've said this before. You know what the word mortgage means? It's a death pledge. That's what the word mortgage means. It's a death pledge. Mort. Like M-O-R-T-G-A-G-E. Mort. Death. Mortician. Death. Engage is pledge. Basically what it is debt till death. And most people, statistically, they refinance their home every 3 to 5 years. And you know who's making all the money? The banks, man. They are making a killing. Because here's the game that is played. Young people, you need to listen. The game, and you've got to have a place to live. Don't get me wrong. There are ways. We paid off. I preached a message on how to pay off your home. I preached that message 4 years ago. I preached the message on how to pay off your home in 5 to 7 years. Our home is paid off in 4 years. We had a 28-year mortgage. When Kelly and I got married, we refinanced everything under a, you know, get our, all our names on the same loan, all that sort. We had 28 years left. We paid it off in 4 years. That took time. I mean, it took work and determination. But it can be done. You don't have to be in debt for 30 years on your place where you live. You can pay it, and if you want to know how to do it, I'll be happy to sit down with anyone and show you how you pay off your home in 5 to 7 years, and you don't have to eat beans and rice for every meal and dry crackers. You can actually live a pretty comfortable life and pay off your mortgage, pay off your debt in 5 to 7 years. It's no joke. I've showed several people how to do it in this church, how to pay off your debt, and that's going to probably be your biggest debt is your mortgage. Now, another problem that young people have, when you turn 18, you know what winds up happening? You get all these offers from credit card companies coming to you in the mail. And, you know, that and Gillette. Gillette always sends an 18-year-old guy a razor. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? They do. They send an 18-year-old guy that graduates school. They send him. Anyway, that's not part. Okay, so... They send, the credit card companies send you credit cards. Here is your credit card, you know, just sign this right here. And a lot of times young people say, hey, I've got this extra, and they put their gas on a credit card, they put their new stereo system on a credit card, and pretty soon that thing is out of control. Those credit card companies are not there for you. They're there to make money. Now, I learned how the credit cards work. I learned how to manipulate them, and I did it. I got business credit cards, and what I did was I got 0% interest credit cards for 15 months. Some of them were for 6 months, some of them for 12, some of them were for 15 months. Some of them even go up to 2 years. Say, what would you do? I would get those, I would have probably 15, 20 business credit cards. I said business credit cards, not personal credit cards. Business credit cards that had 0% interest for 18 months, 15 months, 6 months. And I would take and I would put my house, the money that I owed on my house, I would max them out because they were business credit cards. They don't report to your personal credit unless you miss payments. And so what I would do is I put all that, all my debt that was on my house, I put it on business credit cards at 0% interest. And I paid off my house. Why? I wasn't paying interest. You know, when you get a mortgage, I don't care if it's, let's say it's 3% interest. It's amortized, and most mortgages are 30 years. Now, if you get them for 15 years, that's good. That's better than 30 years. But you're going to be paying a higher monthly payment. You get your mortgage for 30 years, and they say, well, it's only 3% interest. Yeah, but they don't tell you that when the interest rates go down, the closing costs go up. They don't tell you that. And those closing costs are figured in to your loan. And usually it's between 2 and 5% of the total loan. That means you're paying off those closing costs for 30 years. The first 5 years of a 30-year mortgage, you're paying mainly interest because the bank wants their money first. Basically, if you do a 30-year mortgage, you're going to buy a home for yourself, and you're also going to buy one for the bank. That's what it is. It's debt till death. And it's not a, I mean, everybody's got to have a place to live, but there's better ways of doing it than getting a mortgage. I used a HELOC, home equity line of credit. I used that to pay off my home. The cash is available. If you don't understand, I'm not going to go into that, but I can tell you how to do it, and you can live comfortably, and you don't have to be in it for 30 years. 18 and a half years, for 18 and a half years of that 30-year mortgage, you're paying mostly interest for 18 and a half years. The first 5 years is primarily interest. You might be putting $100 or maybe 200 towards the actual principal of your home for 5 years. That's not a good deal. Well, the interest rates are all so low that it's only 3% or 2% or 1%. Hey, look, I don't care if it's 1%. I can get a HELOC and pay 12% and still make more money because it's not amortized over 30 years. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, come talk to me. I can show you how to do it. It makes much more sense. So she says, the creditors have come. Now watch. Look at verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? In other words, you need to sell some stuff that you don't need. You know what's great about the junk that we have? You know what's great about it? They're always making new junk. And so if you sell it off and get out of debt, once you're out of debt and you're debt-free, you can go buy new junk later on. So you don't have to keep that stuff because it's sentimental value or something. You need to get rid of it and pay off your debt. So he says, what is in thine house? What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And you know what he does? First he says, what's in your house? Get rid of that. And then she says, the only thing we have is a pot of oil. And what do they do with that oil? They sell that. See, after you've done what you can do to get rid of the things that you don't need, the things that will help you pay off your debt, then God intervenes and causes a miracle to happen.
Amen.
You read the story here. There's a lot in this. Verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all the neighbors, and empty vessels, borrow not a few. And you know the story. She goes and does that. A miracle takes place. They sell the oil. They pay off the debt, and they live off the rest of what they have. So it's a shame nowadays that the lost world knows more about finances and more about money than Christians do. And we need to take that back. We need to learn more about finances. I'm amazed when I drive by a car lot. Now, my daughter's looking for a car. And we've discussed it. If you know of any good used cars, 10,000 or less, not 10,500, 10,000 or less, let us know. And I mean, a good quality car. There you go, Brooke. She's looking for a car. Anyway, but you know what? We've taught her how to work. We've taught her how to save her money. And she's not going to go into debt to buy a car. She's going to pay cash for it. Say why? You don't want, look, unless you're a multimillionaire, you don't want to buy, now I know this is going to make people mad, you don't want to buy a brand new car.
Yeah.
You know why? As soon as you drive it off the lot, you lose several thousand dollars. You can buy good quality used cars that's going to get you from point A to point B, and it's going to be dependable for a lot less than these things that are on the lot. Listen, those things that are on the lot, I cannot believe how much the price of automobiles. $70,000 for a car, for a truck? Man, that was a house whenever I first moved out here, easily. That was a whole house. Now you got a house on wheels. I hope you plan on living in that thing. And it's amazing how many places you drive by that are absolute dumps, and they've got a brand new one sitting in the driveway. Now, that's not smart. To me, that is not smart. Financially, because those things depreciate, they just lose their value over time. Your house goes up over time. Vehicles go down. Save your money. You don't have to have the nicest stuff out there. We live in America and we are so spoiled thinking that we have to have everything the best. You don't. Just get something that's dependable. I'm not telling you to get a rust bucket and something that you got to constantly take to the shop. No, no. But whenever you buy a vehicle, you know what you ought to do? Pay cash for it. Because those dealers know. Used to, you could walk into a dealership and say, hey, I've got cash money. You know, they don't want that. They want you to go in debt because they get a kickback. They actually get more money for the vehicle. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So, you need to ask yourself, how much is that car? How much is that house? Not how much are the monthly payments. Listen, a broken leg or a broken back can easily change those monthly payments to where you're not going to have the income. So that's something you got to think about. You need to learn how a mortgage works. Okay, don't just look at the monthly cost and the interest rate because people say, "Oh, it's the interest rates are so low." I've already covered this. You got to look at the total cost and how long you're going to be paying. 30 years is a long time. You know how much different you guys are going to be in 30 years? You don't think the same. You will not be thinking the same as you do now. 30 years is a long time. Look over at Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5. And look down at verse 3, Nehemiah 5, 3. Some also there were that said, we have, now watch this, Nehemiah 5, verse 3. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. And that upon our lands and vineyards, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And that's the way it is with when you go into debt. You really don't own that stuff because they can always come take it from you. Now, this is the only time the word mortgage shows up in the Bible. And every time it shows up, you know what is involved with a mortgage? Bondage. It's bondage. The borrower is servant to the lender. That dream house that you want so bad, you're going to wind up serving for it. It's servitude. It's bondage. Now, like I said, I can show you how to get out of debt easily on a mortgage in 5 to 7 years. Not 30 years. But they don't want you getting out of debt. They want to keep you there because they make money off of you. So, you want to watch out for debt. Stay out of debt. I'm going to give you some basic principles, some basic easy things you can do to start digging your way out or to stay out of debt. Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look down at verse 16. Psalm 37, verse 16. Psalm 37, 16, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Isn't it something, you know, oftentimes, young people get the idea, if I were only rich, my problems would be solved. I'd have the best life ever. You know, some of the most miserable people in this world are the rich people. That money does not satisfy. It does not bring joy. It does not bring happiness. Sure, it'll bring some ease and some comfort. But with when you have a lot of money, you got more responsibility because you got more and more people trying to get it from you. And so you got to be, don't let on like it's something that is going to solve all your problems. A righteousness will solve the problem. A little that a righteous man hath is better And oftentimes we're envious at the wicked because they have all this money. And they don't have eternal life, though. We've got it made. We've got it made. Look over at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, look down at verse 17. Proverbs 15, 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. See, they just a dinner of herbs. You can't afford anything else but a salad to eat. And he says, better than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and look down at verse 6. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. And oftentimes when you find, a lot of times with the rich, you know, a lot of times they've got those riches by deceit. They've messed somebody else over to get those riches. And I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of times that is the case. They have robbed or been crooked in a business deal to get those riches. And he tells you here, he says, it's better to have a handful with quietness. You've got a clear conscience. It's not bothering you. Than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Now, young guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. Ever since God told Adam that by the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, that's part of the curse. We've been trying to escape that thing ever since. You're not going to escape it. That's the curse that the Lord put on man. And nowadays, we've got young people that don't want to work. They think they deserve everything given to them by the government, thanks to colleges. Yep. They need to learn how to work. If you're a young man, you need to learn and think about a trade so you can provide for your wife and your children. I know now in society today they have got it set up so both the husband and the wife have to work just to squeeze by, just to get by. So I do recommend for a young man, learn a trade. Whether it's, it doesn't matter what it is. Learn a trade that's going to provide for your family. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it all that you've got. And you will never, I promise you, especially in the days we live in now, if you are diligent, show up to work on time, and have a trade that you know how to do, you're never going to be out of work. All right? And young ladies, too. No, there is. Look, I've taught my daughter how to work, and she knows how to work, and she works for her money. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You're supposed to work for your money, and you learn how to save your money. Don't be in debt till death. Look over at Proverbs 27. Now, here's where it starts, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, look down at verse 23. What's the first three words?
Be thou
what?
Diligent.
Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountain are gathered, the lambs, now watch, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. You know what this guy's doing? He's on a budget. He's taking inventory of the stuff that he has, the money, the stuff coming in, And he's saying, okay, this is going to take care of this. This is going to take care of this. This is going to provide here. This is going to provide over here. You know what the first thing you need to learn how to do as a young person is get on a budget and stay on it. Now, I hate budgets, but they are absolutely necessary. That way you know exactly where your money is going. Because money has wings. And it likes to fly away and say, bye-bye. You want to have a budget. Stay on a budget. Find out how much you have. Write down everything, even to the cup of coffee. That way you know where your money is at. See, you need to know how much money you have coming in and how much money you have going out, how much money you have left over at the end of each month or each week. That's crucial. That is important. And it takes a little discipline. And I'm going to tell you something, young men. That is not the wife's job. That's the husband's job. That's right.
Amen.
Now, your wife can help you out. She can help you out, but it's not her responsibility to do that. That falls on our shoulders. That falls on the man's shoulders to take care of the finances. And oftentimes, the men like to shovel it on their wives, and that's not right. That's not right. So because the guy goes out and buys 15 new rifles or handguns, and then the wife has to figure out how they're going to pay for all this stuff. And then, why didn't we pay this bill? See, that ain't right. That ain't right. The husband needs to take care of the finances. Young men, learn that right away and start before you're married. Start knowing how to handle finances. Start learning about money, how to take care of it. Young gals, the same thing. Because chances are, you wind up with a guy that puts it on you. I hate to say that, but that's the chances. So learn how to take care of it. Learn how to do a budget early on. And that way you know what you're doing before you get into a mess. All right, a budget. And there's a saying, it says, if your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep is your downfall. That's a good one. If your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep is your downfall. Don't spend more than you can make. Don't spend, don't even do it close. Don't even just cut it, oh, we got $10 left over each. That's cutting it too close. Cutting it too close. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want, to lack. You know what that is? That's buying on impulse. You see something in the store, you see something, I've got to have that, and boom, you bought it. And I've done that, man. How many of you have ever regretted buying something because you did it on impulse? You saw something that you liked, and you know what the Bible says? Everything by prayer and what?
Supplication.
You know, it's good to learn how to start praying, Lord, should I buy this? Before you make the... That gives you... Not only does it get the Lord involved in your decision making, but it gives you time to think about, do you really want this? Do you really need this particular item? All right. Now I'm going to give you a few things here, and we're almost done. The first thing is, there's 10 things here, and there's probably more, but this is going to help you out. Number one, the first thing you need to do to get out of debt is you need to tithe. That's right. You tithe 10%. I'm going to tell you something. You will not be happy or content or right with the Lord until you tithe. You need to learn that right off the bat as a young person. You tithe. You give 10% of your income. Actually, you don't give it. You pay it. Abraham paid tithes. You know what that is? That's your rent payment to the Lord because he's giving you air to breathe. He's giving you water to drink. He's giving you food to eat. Okay, so you need to learn how to tithe. That's the first thing. The second thing is you need to learn, I'm going to say it again, get on a budget. Write down all of your expenses to the very last penny. And it's going to take some time, and you're going to get frustrated, especially if you own your own business, because you don't always know how much money you have coming in. But you can always know how much money you got going out. All right, find out. And I'm talking about even the coffee, the snacks, the eating out. A lot of times people waste their retirement because they eat out so much. I saw, I was telling, I think it was Ariel the other day, I said, I heard that the average American spends $2,500 a year on coffee.
Whoa.
Well, that's $5. I mean, Starbucks. You know, because they go 3 or 4 times a day over to start and pay $5 each time they get a cup of coffee. Now, I know, and hey, listen, it's okay to do that, but budget it in.
Yeah.
Don't just do it and not know where your money's going, because it adds up really quick. Know where your money's going. Number three, learn how to raise your credit score. Your credit score is a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And if you've got a really poor credit score, that means you've got a poor name, that you don't necessarily pay your debts. I can show you, even if you pay your debts on time and you've never been late, you can still have a credit score that's in the toilet. You say, how? Say you have a credit card that has $10,000 credit limit on it, and it's a personal credit card. Okay, and you're carrying a $5,000 debt on that credit card. You're never late on the payment. You're always paying it right on time. It still causes your credit score to go down. Because what the credit card companies do is they look, if you've got more than 30% of the maximum limit, they're going to ding your credit score and it's going to go down. So if you got a credit card with $10,000 credit limit on it, don't ever go over $3,000 carrying that debt, because it'll cause your credit score to go down. Learn about a credit score. Try to get your credit score up to a 750 or higher. Now, I'm telling you, I think it goes up to 850. Last time I checked, I think it was 850. And mine's right in between 800 and 850, somewhere around in there. And you can, young parents, listen, I did this with Brooke. Before she turned 18, I put her as an authorized, I didn't let her know, authorized signer on my credit cards before she was 18. Say, what'd that do? That raised her credit score. So now if she does need to go get a loan for a home, she's got a credit score that's in the 700s now. See? You can help your young people out. Young people, learn about a credit score. Learn the companies that report. I bet the young people don't know the credit reporting companies. Learn about them. Make it a point. Make it a challenge to get your credit score to 750. And find out the little tricks and the ways that you can raise that thing up, because there are tricks and ways to do it. All right, now, number four. You got number one, tithe, get on a budget, learn to raise your credit score. Number four, this is for young people, get $1,000 into your savings account as fast as you can. And it's for emergency use only. Don't touch it. This is for an emergency. That doesn't mean pizza on Friday night's an emergency. It's for an emergency. If something goes wrong, you've got a little extra money saved up so you can pay for this thing that broke on your vehicle, or get $1,000. That's the first number one thing. You know, get $1,000 into your savings account. If you have credit card debt, start paying it off. Start with the smallest amount and work your way up from that. It's a snowball effect. What will happen is once you get that first, and sometimes young people have 4 or 5 credit cards and they've got all of them maxed out. That's a bad place to be. So you start with the lowest amount and start working your way and start paying them off as fast as you can. Be diligent and try to get rid of that debt. And it'll snowball, because once you get the first one paid off, the second one's easier to pay off, and then the third one's easier to pay off, and then the fourth one, because you're taking all the money you were putting on the first one, you're putting on the second one, all the second, third, and it goes on. Snowball. All right? Learn how to use a HELOC or business credit cards, and I can show you how to do it. I've done it myself, debt-free. You can pay off your home in 5 to 7 years. And if you don't need that mortgage, don't get it. Don't go in over your head. Look at how much money you and your husband or you make and say, you know what? I don't see how anybody in Dillon affords the houses around here. I really don't, unless you're self-employed and you make a ton of money, because they are expensive and they're only going up. And so start saving money, start getting out of debt. Now, when you pay off like your mortgage, then you want to save 3 to 6 months of your income for emergency use only. 3 to 6 months of your income. Like I said, you never know if you're going to break your leg or if you're going to, you know, wind up in the hospital. And that way, if you have to get off work, you've got a little bit of a cushion there for 3 to 6 months that you can still provide and take care of your family and take care of yourself. That's after you get out of debt. See, these are steps, 1, 2, 3, 4. First thing, you got to tithe. Second thing, get on a budget. Third thing, learn how to raise your credit score. Get $1,000 in your savings account. Get rid of expensive vehicles. Yeah, if you're paying a monthly payment on an expensive vehicle, the best thing you can do, young people, is to get rid of that vehicle, put it on Craigslist, put it somewhere, sell it, and get you a dependable, reliable vehicle, and that way you're not the servant to the lender. See, oftentimes young people, we got to have the best rather than something that will actually work and is dependable, and therefore your money is constantly going out to pay for that thing. Find a vehicle that's dependable and that you can pay for. The next thing, 3 to 6 months of your income, try to save it. Try to save up that much. That way, if something happens to you, you've got a little bit of a cushion. And then once you get debt-free, learn, and while you're getting debt-free, learn about investing. Now, I don't know much about the stock market. I really don't, and I don't care to. I don't care to know much about the stock market. But I do know a lot about real estate, and that's a good one. If you learn about real estate, or if you want to learn about the stock market, or if you want to learn about mutual funds, it's good and it's biblical to invest your money. The Lord even expects a return on his investment.
Right.
And so learn about that. As you're getting out of debt, as you're saving money, as you're working, learn about investing. Learn about money. Learn how it works. And that's going to help you to be debt-free, living debt-free. Because like I said, that first verse we had, the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't just know that thing. I know it by heart because I've lived it. And the best way to be is debt-free. And so young people, don't go into debt. You don't have to. Think about it. Pray about it. And if you can, buy the stuff that you need, your car, in cash. Pay for it. That way you're not stuck to paying for it for years to come. All right, we're out of time. Let's pray.